Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's Overtime with Jake Volnick with you guys here on The Fan. And to get a better look into the Browns OTAs, what we've learned so far early on in this competition at the quarterback spot and maybe a couple beyond. Let's go out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. You can find his work over at cleveland.com. You might know him as Coach Riz. We also know him as Lance Reisland. He joins us now. Lance, what's going on?
Jake, how are you tonight, my friend?
We are doing very good because it's, I mean, honestly, less days and less things I have to hear about Shedeur Sanders and the media going crazy and people saying wild things.
It really is. It's pretty amazing. I've been doing this for a couple of years now, and the good and the bad hype is, both ends of it have been just kind of overwhelming, kind of incredible.
Yeah, I was very surprised to go through and see a very just distinct population of people, right? It was a ton of Colorado fans, and I think a lot of Shedeur fans, and probably some Browns ones mixed in. But we talked to your colleague Dan Lobby on Wednesday, and Dan had thrown out the idea that, like, hey, the two rookies looked rather similar. They didn't set themselves apart. And then all I see on social media is Shedeur looks like an elite quarterback. Shedeur is making throws. You won't believe what he's going to be in the NFL. And I thought there was a funny distinction between three throws getting highlighted on social media and what was reality and going through and watching.
Well, Dan's absolutely right. There was, those practices, especially with no helmets on, really nothing means anything for anybody, especially the quarterback position. But Dan hit it right on the head. There wasn't enough. Those plays are scripted. And when they said, I've had a lot of people say, how come you didn't comment on this? A lot of those 7-on-7s, they start the 5-yard line going in, and they're scripted to make the quarterbacks look successful, or especially early on. They're trying to get their timing. They're trying to learn the game. And, I haven't seen a lot of separation between any of them. Obviously, I think Flacco looks really composed. He looks as he should. The quarterback, it would be more alarming if the quarterbacks didn't look, pretty successful during this. There's no pads, there's no hitting. But yeah, I'm in complete agreement with Dan. The rookies were definitely behind the two older guys, and none of them really did much in terms of like wild throws. There's a couple throws Flacco hit Judy a couple times, but for the most part, pretty even keel. All the guys are pretty similar. A lot of learning going on.
Lance, it sort of pushes me to ask you, you see all four guys play on the same day and you see them all throwing together. Just how far away are we from being able to see a potential rookie starting in week one?
I don't think it's very, to be honest with you, I don't think it's very close unless these older guys are really, really don't do well in the preseason and leading up to that. Obviously, you and I will talk more once we get into, camp and training camp and the day in, day out kind of grind of it. But those older guys, you can tell, like, for example, Flacco looks really, really good. Why? Because he knows this scheme. And when you know this scheme, you can play fast. And when you can play fast, especially when you're not in pads, everything really looks slow to him. What I mean by that is he understands the scheme, and it just makes it easy for him. You know, Pickett has great feet. He has a lot of athletic ability. He does not have as strong as arm as Flacco. Flacco really has some arm talent. The ball looks different coming off his arm. But again, not a ton of difference between any of them, just because the nature of what they're doing and the 7-on-7 and the controlled atmosphere. But just the, by the look of it and what they're trying to do, again, I just think the best guy's got to play. And just any rookie, I'm not sure if they're ready, to be honest with you. I'll know more once we get into, you know, more OTAs and when the pads go on especially. But it's just such a learning curve for those guys, and I think it'll take them some time. And obviously if the Browns aren't doing well and there's some other circumstances that can lead to other issues, but you know, I see one of those veterans starting and being, you know, and having some success, to be honest with you. I think both guys can have some success.
So Lance, after getting to watch them all run through and how the practices actually ran with four quarterbacks competing in one room, do you think it's important that they whittle this thing down from four guys to, you know, whether it's three or two in this competition, maybe as quickly as possible?
Well, you know, obviously you want to get game reps, and I think that's why you can't look into reps too much. I mean, you can't look into like early reps too much, because early on I could see Flacco not maybe getting as many because he knows it. However, he's going to want those reps too to get back up to game speed. I do think that, you know, at some point in time they're going to have to figure out what they're going to do just so that guy can get those competitive reps. Right now. They got to go through, they got to learn it in the playbook, then they got to go out and they got to walk it through, but then they have to go through the adjustments. You know, you put the play in, you the play expectations, and then things happen and you have to go through those adjustments, and that all has to happen in live speed, in live games. So I do think they're going to have to, I think the preseason is very important for the Cleveland Browns and the quarterback position, probably more than anybody else in the NFL. I think I know they don't like to do that, and Stefanski's not a really big believer in like going live a ton, but it might be something those quarterbacks really have to see, just so you can see, and maybe they have a plan. Maybe they want to move a guy to the practice squad. Again, I don't think anything can be said about any of the four, but either positive or negative. They're just kind of getting ready to get ramped up here, and we'll know more in a couple weeks.
Lance Reisland, Cleveland.com, with us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I thought the reports coming out of OTAs were interesting as we looked at the two rookies, because it was Dylan Gabriel taking team reps and Shedeur Sanders not necessarily taking team reps. All the reasons that that could be, what do we think that it actually is, why a guy that you're taking in the third round is getting that opportunity that a guy that you're taking in the fifth is not, in the Brown situation specifically?
Well, you know, obviously Sanders comes with a lot of hype. I thought he was very good. I you know, I was very high on him going into the draft. I was very high on Dylan Gabriel as well. And I think it comes down to what you know, they picked him in the third round. They picked Gabriel in the third round. So that's where their investment. They've decided that they like what he does. I can see, I feel like sometimes more than others in terms of why they liked him, especially for the Stefanski scheme, his ability to throw from multiple launch points. He's got a really compact motion. He can really drive the football. He's got pretty outstanding fundamentals. His footwork is very good. And I think it's just the fact that, you know, you kind of go where that's where their investment is. Now, obviously look at Brock Purdy and other guys. It's going to come down to when they start getting into these live reps, and when they start getting even all the way down to one-on-one reps, right, where receivers are going against DBs and tight ends are going against linebackers. Those are all going to be very important throws, more than they probably will for other teams, just because you're trying to see guys' timing and what they can do. I think Dylan Gabriel has a chance to be really successful. You know, and obviously all the hype is with Sanders, and maybe that is, some of it's really good, some of it's really bad, but you know, neither of it is really is warranted at this point. He hasn't done a lot, either positive or negative. He's just trying to learn the scheme like the rest of the guys. And I think, you know, obviously the thing I like about him is that he just has a great attitude, and he looks like he likes to practice. All those guys do. And that's important at the quarterback position.
If we look at the situation entirely, is there a world where you'd have Shedeur out there less to try to quiet some of the media storm, especially on the day where the media is there and you know you're working on days where the media isn't allowed to be there?
Well, I would say this as a coach. You know, obviously, Coach Stefanski, like all of us in all lines of work, right, we all have to kind of listen to our bosses and within realms. And, you know, Kevin, for me, as long as Stefanski and his staff, they're saying the best guy is going to play. And whatever their MO is, and for Stefanski, you know, he likes to give his starter the most reps. And it's going to be interesting to see how that works. And I have just as many questions as you do. But I think when they get down to what they're trying to do as an offense and how they're trying to attack teams, I think, you know, there's going to come a point where they got to decide who is going to be the guy they choose, why they choose it. But that should all be within their, you know, within their realm. The outside noise should not have any effect on what they're doing, whether the people are there, whether people aren't there. They just got to figure out and kind of grade everything. And, you know, we won't see how they are in the meetings and or do they pick up the plays? Do they understand the concepts? Do they understand where everybody's supposed to be? Things like that. There's things we won't see besides just the throwing. But for me, it's the best guy's got to play. And when they say, you know, we got to get this guy ready, I never believe in that. You got to go win games. If you want to improve your program, you got to win games. And culture comes from what you do, not what you say. And they got to prove that they're trying to win games for the rest of these guys.
Lance, outside of the quarterback spot, watching all the other guys, because I know you've become infatuated with some of the other rookies here too. And did we learn anything about any of the other guys that we drafted this year from what you saw in day one?
Well, I think Carson Schwechinger is a guy I'm really high on. I liked him as a linebacker. I didn't really have him as high as when they drafted him. Then you go back and watch the film and you see what they like. He's also a lot thicker. Lower body wise. So I think he's going to be really instinctual. He makes a lot of plays. The running backs are very good. Junkson looks the part. I think he's a guy that's really, really good on those gap schemes. Kevin likes to run, so he'll get downhill. He's going to help the quarterback because I think he can get to, you know, second four, second five, second six. That makes a quarterback and the coordinator's job a lot easier. Samson looks very good. He's got great explosion. He's very patient in what he does, and then he explodes. There's a lot of those guys. I think Florida's got a chance, you know, it's, I think Luke Florio, the kid out of Mentor's, got a chance to be successful because he is a guy that not only is it not a deep receiving group as a whole, but he does something different. He kind of gives you that Cooper Kupp, that Julian Edelman, Wes Welker in the slot ability to get open kind of guy. So he might be a guy that has a chance to make this team if they're going to be, you know, kind of pushed towards 11 personnel. And then the guy who's just been consistent and kind of has, it looks like a veteran out there is Fannin. Fannin's a guy who always gets open. He's very savvy. He looks like a veteran. He understands zone and man coverage. He's great releases. You know, obviously he's going to have to work on his inline blocking, but as a receiver with him and Njoku in that 12 personnel, I think he's going to have a big year because he presents a lot of problems with who you're going to cover him with.
Outside of the rookies too, Lance, I thought was interesting. Was there anybody that kind of surprised you that you weren't expecting to come out and look as good as they did?
Well, you know, if you talk one other up front, so Graham on defense is going to be a load. And when the pads go on, a lot of guys go down. In fact, a lot of football players aren't nearly as good when the pads go on. Graham's a guy who goes the opposite way. He's a load in there. He'll be a anchor in there for years and years. I really believe that because of his athletic ability. Two guys that I was super impressed with, first and foremost, day one, people ask me my day one, what did you get most out of? Was the fact that Juwan Jones is in great shape and he's really recovered from the injury and the surgery and everything. So he looks physically fit. And, you know, not only is his size important, but he uses that length and he uses that as part of his technique. So for him being in shape is very important. I also thought Zach Zinter. Now, they don't have pads on, and I'm not talking about any type of blocking techniques. I'm just talking movement skills, the ability, lateral skills, short area burst quickness, the ability to get out of your stance and kick step. I thought they both looked really fast and looked physically fit. So I'll be interested to see when they get the pads on. But I thought the entire offensive line looked really fit. They looked like they're ready to go. And they probably have a little juice knowing they're going back to what they do best in Stefanski's scheme.
So one of the other things on the offense, and Lance Reisland of Cleveland.com with us on the hotline, I posed the question yesterday because I was just going back and scrolling through the stats and looking at Jerry Jeudy's production, which obviously was raised when the Browns were throwing the ball more, right? That's pretty natural. But a lot of that came at times where, you know, Jameis is throwing 40, 50 times a game last year when the Browns were void of a run game. You think there should be any fear right now in Jerry Jeudy's production that it might have been dependent on Jameis Winston and that it's going to be tougher to repeat anything close to that this year, given the way that we're going to a Stefanski scheme that might lean heavier on the run?
Well, I think it's about taking advantages of the, you know, the opportunities that are presented to you. Now, you might not get the volume, but sometimes the volume doesn't really matter, especially in a Stefanski scheme. It's about making that big play when they go play action on second and one, or you get a turnover and you take a shot because the defense is in disarray and you take a shot over the top. What I saw on campus, he looked really physically fit. And I think the reason that I think his numbers will still be really good is Jerry Jeudy's a guy who can move in multiple spots. He can run all the routes outside as a one. He can run the digs, the posts, the go routes, things like that. But he's also pretty good in the slot, and he's a very good run after catch guy. So his ability to play multiple spots and move and motion, things like that, I think will allow Stefanski to put him in the primary position, because you know he has that. He's very smart. He understands zone and man and things like that. So I think his numbers maybe won't be as high just because you wouldn't want him to be, right? Because if you're breaking in a quarterback, you want maybe he has the volume but doesn't have the, you know, the yards or whatever it may be. But the balance is the key. And balance is not 50 run, 50 pass. Balance is the ability to do what you want on down and distance, right? So I'm going to throw on first down, but I'm going to run on second. You're dictating. So I think Jeudy, his numbers will stay there. If the running game is successful, and then they have to honor that a little bit, and you can't, you know, drop 7 and 8 in coverage. So the balance will help Jeudy, even though the numbers might not be there, especially early on.
Lance, something I wanted to ask you from being a former coach perspective is it's voluntary OTAs. And we heard Kevin iterate that in his time with the media multiple times that, hey, this is a voluntary program. How much is it that a coach looks at a thing like that and you really want your players to be there, but obviously that's something that's negotiated with the NFLPA and guys are allowed to not show up, guys are allowed to show up, and it's completely on their choice. But how much does that get under a coach's skin of wanting every guy to actually be there?
Well, you know, that comes down to, it goes back to the old adage, if you're winning, right? If you're winning, none of this matters, because if you're winning, you're going, all these guys don't need to be in. But when you're losing and you're coming off a really poor season, you want everybody in. You want everybody to be bought in. It doesn't mean that they aren't bought in, but the perception's there, right? The perception is, this is not important. But really, it may be that's not part of their program. And these are grown men, so obviously they got to come in shape. They got to do what they do. But football at any level, you have to have some chemistry and you have to have some buy-in. You know, the thing I've heard a bunch is about Myles Garrett. Well, there's a guy who he's paid to sack people. And the only thing that I warn people about is that making somebody a leader, a vocal leader, or a guy making a guy step outside his box of what he's comfortable with. Myles Garrett's the best player on the field. I see him practice almost every day during camp. He's a very hard worker. He's very fun. He has a lot of energy. He's first in line, those kind of things. He has a lot of fun out there, but he's not going to be the rah-rah guy. And if you make him be that guy, it kind of comes off as ungenuine to his teammates, especially when they're grown men. So I think they just got to temper the idea that he's going to be this guy who shows up at everything. And that's really not his MO. But if he comes in and gets 14 sacks, that can be forgotten. But to your point, when you're not winning, it's nice to have everybody in just so you can have that total buy-in.
Lance, I want to get you one more, and then I'll get you on your way. A big conversation, big discussion across the station today was whether or not, you know, guys are a guy's guy, right? The term was thrown around a ton today, and manly man was attached to it. But I want to know, when you hear guy's guy, what is the definition of that for you?
Well, as a football player, a guy's guy to me is a guy who shows up every day. He's true to himself, right? So if you can say what you want about Jameis Winston, but that was him, right? So a guy who's within his personality, a guy's guy in terms of football, right, is just a guy who shows up every day. He's not needy. He's in front of lines. He's vocal in meetings. He's maybe not pushing people or rah-rah, but he's making sure that his energy and his passion he shows that he wants to be there every day. You know, that's kind of where the Browns, in my opinion, are kind of lacking. They got to get some guys who are kind of edgy, and they got to get some guys who are kind of mean, and they got to get some guys who aren't worried about what people say about them, things like that. So for me, in terms of a guy's guy, that's just a person who is not needy, does what he's supposed to do. As a football player, that means being consistent. It means consistently doing the things you're supposed to do when you're supposed to do it. Going to meetings, eating right, sleeping, being in the right spots. That's kind of what it means to me. And regardless of how old they are, they're pro football. This is their profession, so they got to get themselves ready to go. And all the hype about rebuilding, they should be thinking about winning every football game. Most likely won't, but that should be their MO, is a win to win every single game. And then you have success, and you create that culture and those kind of things.
Lance, always fun to pick your brain. I look forward to doing it sometime soon here in the future as well. Appreciate you setting aside the time as always.
As always, Jake, thanks for having me, buddy.
Thanks, Lance. Lance Reisling, Coach Riz over at Cleveland.com, joining us there on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We're going to react to what Lance had to say, and, well, you heard his opinions on the quarterback. I think some people, though, might have a little preconceived idea of who maybe not they want to be out there, but definitely who they don't when it comes to week one. That's coming up in 5 minutes right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan. Lance Reisling over at Cleveland.com joining us last segment. Some really good stuff, as always, from Lance. Listen, it's a guy that every time he talks football, I mean, I get amped up. He's got so much energy, so much juice when he talks about the game. I'm asking about a guy's guy, and he goes, listen, guy's guy on the football field. Here we go. Mine doesn't go anywhere else. I love it. Speaking of guy's guy, by the way, coming up in 14 minutes. I feel like I have to run to the defense of Mitch Spinell from this morning. Not even to the defense. I just feel like they took what Mitch said and completely spun it and missed the entire conversation and the entire point that guy was making. All right, so we're coming to back up Mitch coming up in about 14 minutes. But in terms of the quarterback, I really like Lance's perspective and sort of what he gives, right? So he's obviously a guy who is a fan of Dylan Gabriel, and not to say he's not a fan of Shador or any of these other quarterbacks, because I know coming into the draft, he was a big fan of Shador too. But he's a guy who sort of evaluates on an even playing field. And he watches all of these guys go, and I think that, you know, you listen to a lot of people talk about it and break down the game, and they'll say, well, I think Shador looked better than Dylan Gabriel. Dylan Gabriel looked better than Shador. Or, hey, these veterans, way better, way farther ahead than these rookies. And Lance sort of lays it out to you in the football perspective that he has as a former player, a former coach, of looking at it and saying, listen, none of these guys showed anything really above the other one in the first day that we got to see of OTAs. Because there was no chance to set themselves apart. They were running through things and more, you know, getting to learn the offense, getting to learn the plays in the playbook, and just sort of trying to get things right. You're probably going to learn more things about that later. Now, I'm still subscribed to the idea that the Browns are most likely going to...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Put a veteran quarterback out there week one. Right, but I think there's, when we talk four quarterback competition, I think a lot of people have their opinions of, oh, well, I want to see Joe Flacco out there to start things off. Because what if it is he just works really well in the Stefanski system and he can be, you know, a quarterback for you for this year. And you know what? Maybe he plays till he's 42 and you have a quarterback for the next couple of years that could lead you. Or Shedeur Sanders should have been a first or second round talent. The Browns got him in the fifth. Let's see if he actually has anything. What I feel like is the conversation that goes sort of unspoken alongside of that is the guy that you absolutely don't want to see week one, right? The guy that you want to not be on the field. You can pick who you want, but knowing that it's a four quarterback competition, knowing that these guys technically, as it's played out right now, all have a chance to be your week one starter. Is there somebody that you've already looked at and sort of ruled out? I'm not trusting that guy. That's not going to be a guy that I put out there and trust with this team going up against the Bengals and the Ravens and, you know, a majority of the NFC North before you finally close out division play with the Steelers. Is there somebody that you don't want? Because honestly, I look around, if I had to pick somebody, because I do truthfully think it's a four-man competition, like that guy for me, not because I don't think he can do it, but because of what I've been telling you for the last couple of months and the direction I feel on the Browns, the guy that I wouldn't want to see is Joe Flacco. Just because I don't think it gets you anywhere doesn't make you learn anything about this season. I think there's a really good shot that the best quarterback for the Cleveland Browns in terms of getting wins on the board is 100% probably going to be Flacco. I think there's a world where it's not, but if I had to take a stab, yeah, I'd probably say your best shot of getting wins on the board is Joe. It doesn't help you in anything of learning what quarterbacks you have. But if I had to take a guess, had to take an imagination on who a lot of people would say, I would imagine the one name you point to is either Kenny Pickett or Dylan Gabriel. Don't want to see that guy. To which I would ask the question, why not? Right, if any of these guys are going to be your quarterback in my eyes, seeing them against tough competition should probably be something that we all want to see. Right? Even if you don't think that they're able to live up to it, even if you don't think that they're going to give you an opportunity to win, I think that there's a reason to see all of them. But I imagine people have sort of a different feeling when it comes to this, that there's somebody that they don't want to see and that they don't believe in right now. And I know that a lot of fans in Cleveland probably don't believe in Kenny Pickett. And I know that, you know, if you want to scroll back to my X account from the draft, you can probably tell that if it was Dylan Gabriel, my faith would be relatively low. I think there's a world where it works, but my faith would be low. 216-474-0092. Is there a quarterback you absolutely do not want to see start week one? Let's go out to the phones. Let's talk to Eric is in Oberlin. What's going on, Eric?
Hey, Jake. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I was calling just with you the concern, Dylan Gabriel, the height. Right at 5'10", I believe. Mm-hmm. That's problematic unless he's like super, super able to do some stuff, because as we've seen in the NFL, that's just tough. So whatever his skill set, and I'm not rooting against anyone, I want the best, you know, person to win and in the whole nine, but that just is a tough one. So for me, I don't see, you know, how he can be successful, but that's all I got to add. But thank you for taking my call, Jake. Appreciate it. Have a good night.
Yep, you too. Appreciate you making the call, Eric, anytime. I do think, so the Gabriel thing is interesting because I think height is one thing and frame is another. And a lot of what I'm worried about with Dylan Gabriel is, truthfully, the frame and withstanding hits throughout the league and being able to shrug off defenders. The height's not as big of a concern. I think it's really the culmination of what he is, right? Because we could look, he's technically listed at 5'11", right? Which there's only two quarterbacks right now in the league shorter as a listed height, and that's Kyler Murray and that's Bryce Young. Two quarterbacks that Kyler, obvious why Kyler has the ability to succeed at 5'10". I mean, the guy runs around and his legs are a thing of a miracle, okay? He can move and he can outrun you and he can outpace you and he can get around defensive ends. So it works, and he can roll out and sort of recreate the pocket, and they can shift the pocket around him. But, like, if you're talking about short quarterbacks and making it work, I think an interesting comparison is Bryce Young. Right? And not that he is of the same talent, because I think Bryce Young is definitely the better quarterback from the evaluation of it. But if you look at the guys in terms of height, like, Bryce Young can still stand in the pocket and deliver a football and it not being batted down every 3 seconds. Yes, the height is a concern. Are there going to be balls that are batted down, throwing from a frame of 5'10 or 5'11 that wouldn't be if you were 6'3? Absolutely. Even if you're some of the other guys, if you're Shedeur Sanders standing at like 6'1, 6'2, yeah, there's still balls that are going to be batted down because of that. But I still think there's room to succeed. Like, Bryce Young, and this is where the problem comes in for Dylan Gabriel, Bryce Young can move, but I don't see Bryce Young as like a running quarterback or a guy that it relies very heavily on his legs the way that I see with Kyler. But he can move. He can get outside the pocket, and he can begin to sort of shift where he's going to be throwing the ball from. With Dylan Gabriel, it's like, okay, if that pocket breaks down or you're beginning to be rushed, if I'm not mistaken off the top of my head, I think Dylan Gabriel ran a 4.8340. Significant.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Significantly slower than what Bryce Young and Kyler Murray ran. Like, noticeably different. So the speed aspect is not there. He is sort of limited to, if you're going to get moving, you get moving early, and it's by design. It's not out of, you know, having to make something happen and keeping plays alive. But I think that's where the issue with me, with Dylan Gabriel comes in, is I just don't know how viable that is. And an offense where the offensive line, I think, is going to be better than last year, but I'm not saying they're going to be great. I still think he's a rookie that has a shot, though. They drafted him in the third round for a reason, right? Clearly, they see something that can work. And if Kevin and them think that it can work with Dylan Gabriel, I mean, they made it work with Baker Mayfield, who was listed at 6'1", 6'0". Like, that's not a tall guy either. But they played winning football with Baker. They got creative. I mean, how many times did we see bootlegs to the left with a right-handed quarterback? It became a Baker staple of like, hey, can anybody else hit a tight end running across 6 yards down the field better than Baker Mayfield while sprinting to his left? I don't know. He might have mastered the art of that in Cleveland. It felt like that was where he sort of made his money and where he became a quarterback in consistency. But if you can start to do some of those things with Dylan Gabriel, I think it's possible, but I think there's difficulty there, no doubt. For me, again, though, Joe Flacco would be the guy I picked just because I want a direction and I want a quarterback of the future. 216-474-0092. Is there a quarterback you absolutely don't want to see starting week one? And I got to come back up a good buddy of Mitch Spinell. I mean, it's just a miscalculation. Nobody was seeing what Mitch was trying to say, it feels like. That's in 5 minutes in overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan. Listen, we got to address something first. A conversation that was all over today across the station. It started with the morning show. It worked its way into the afternoon. I don't know that Daryl and Jeff touched it at all. It makes sense for me that they didn't. But I know for a fact, Ken and Anthony and Mitch and Owen, and then even transitioning into Nick, JP, Jake, and Mac, were definitely taking this and running with it of sort of what is a guy's guy, right? I had my own definition, and listening to the way it started in the morning, right? Because Mitch called Timothy Chalamet a guy's guy, which, by the way, I'll start by saying I agree with him. Timothy Chalamet is a guy's guy. I'll explain what I mean. But I felt like Ken and Anthony got this wrong. Right, when they were thinking about it, it felt like it was a conversation, not about a guy's guy, but like, as after the afternoon show put it, but like a manly man or a man's man, which I feel are two very different things. Because I see Timothy Chalamet as a guy's guy because, well, I mean, he's just got a cool demeanor to him, and then he's constantly up there and now in front of the cameras and in front of mics, cracking jokes, talking sports, being like someone that it feels like you want to be around, which I think is one of the key contributors and sort of where the definition went wrong of what is a guy's guy. Because it has nothing to do about being able to change a tire or do work around the house or mow a lawn, right? A guy's guy and a man's man can overlap. You can be both, but it's not that you're one or the other, and it's not that they're the same thing either. There's an in-between here between a guy's guy and a man's man. Like, a guy's guy has to be somebody that I think, first off, has to be a genuine person, has to be somebody that you want to be around, and has to be someone that I think is there for someone and has their back. But it's mostly about the experience of being around them. You're a guy's guy when it's people want to surround themselves with people like you. Like, they're always like, oh, you know, we're having a bunch of friends over. Hey, don't forget to invite Derek. We love Derek. Get Derek here. You know, everybody wants Derek at the party, okay? I don't know who Derek is, but threw the name on it. But that's the type of person that is a guy's guy. A manly man could be the biggest bleep in the entire world. But you know what? If you can go directly under my car and fix exactly what's wrong and then also come to my house and build my fence, you've probably started to transition yourself into a man's man when you do the dirty work, which I think is what Ken and Anthony were sort of laying out there. They're like, oh, like, man's man for me, you have to be able to change a tire. You have to be able to mow a lawn. I think they said change the filter on your furnace, which I'm 23. I've never changed a filter on a furnace, but it doesn't really feel like a man's man activity. It just feels like something you either know how to do or you very quickly learn how to do. I mean, I'm about 95% confident that my mother growing up has changed the filter on a furnace. I don't consider my mom a man's man, I'll tell you that much. But I think that's where they got it wrong. And Timothy Chalamet then fits under the category of a guy's guy. And somebody that I think people now at this point in the way he's acting in the media want to be around people, right? And I know Ken Anthony went through NFL head coaches or like guy's guy, not guy's guy. But that's under the wrong idea, right? They got a couple right. Mike Vrabel, Dan Campbell, those are man's mans, but also guy's guys. Right? Like, Jax, we agree? They fit both of those categories?
Yeah, I agree. 100%, yeah.
Okay. You threw out, what'd you throw out when we were talking for the show?
Baker Mayfield.
A guy's guy. A man's man? Maybe not.
I don't think so.
Like, from what I could tell, probably not. But definitely a guy's, like, it's a lot about the energy for me, right?
Matt Stafford?
Guy's guy.
Guy's guy.
Guy's guy for sure. Matt Fratford? That's my kind of dude right there. Okay? He's somebody that feels like you constantly want to be around, which, by the way, coming up in 14 minutes, we'll hear from Matt Stafford. Matt Stafford is a part of Get a Grip. I might be able to say his name. But I don't know how we got so just detached from, like, how did the morning show get to a guy's guy being more of a man's man when we started with Timothée Chalamet? Because we can agree, Timothée Chalamet, not a man's man.
No, absolutely not.
Not even close. But he's a guy's guy. At least I would say so. And I think Mitch properly got
it. He's on the fence for me.
Okay. I mean, but there's
he's
something
definitely
there.
He's definitely gotten closer to that.
Like, again, I think JP sort of brought it up as, and I think Nathan Zagura actually put the label on it. It's like, it's a, you know, maybe somebody you want to go and grab a drink with. Maybe a little shallow of a response, but like, I think it takes a little bit more to get the true meaning, but it's like a good start. It's a good start of what it is.
I think you saying like someone that you like want to be wherever you are doing something like that you have to invite, you know, they're always going to be making you laugh or you're making like just good energy between the two. That's what makes someone a guy's guy.
They're easy to get along with. I think there's somebody that you can have the really basic, like, all right, we got to talk ball right now. And also someone where if you really needed to, you could probably, you know, drop a deep conversation on them. They might drop some wisdom. I think there's a lot that goes into this. I don't think it's a very basic definition. I just feel like it got steered wrong throughout the day. Like, personally, I would hope that I'm a guy's guy. I would be nowhere close to a man's man. And I think Nick and JP got to that conclusion by the end of the show. Accurately categorized, I would say. At least I would hope so. That's the other thing, too, is like, does a guy's guy really walk around going, I'm a guy's guy?
Yeah, no,
right?
No.
I think that,
again, I would like to say that I feel like I am, but I don't want, I feel like if you say that, then you're not, you know?
Right, like you hope to be a guy's guy. Like you, I try to present myself.
It just has to naturally happen.
Yeah, like I hope that the way I present myself makes me one of those people. I think everybody should want to be one of those people, but it's okay if you're not. Like there's a world where not everybody can be a guy's guy, okay? Like, it's just not the way that it plans out. Not everybody can be one. It's not the end of the world if you're not. It's just like, you know, maybe you just don't get along with everybody. Maybe sometimes you're a little difficult to be around, and that's part of your personality. And you know what? When Derek's having a really good day, Derek's somebody you want there. But sometimes Derek has bad days, and Derek doesn't deal very well with his anger, and sometimes he changes his emotions. All right, so you're not a guy's guy. It's all right. It's all right, or maybe you're really fun to have around when the game's on, but if I got to go and stand and try to get a beer with you, just not a ton there. Not the same kind of vibe. You're not a guy's guy. That's perfectly fine. Love watching the game with you. Might love hanging out with you in other circumstances. We're just not somebody who's going to click and get a beer together. And it has to be that way. And I think the main thing is it has to be like universal, right? Like, sure, your buddies and your friends might enjoy just sitting down and getting a beer with you, but it has to be like a majority of people enjoy sitting down and getting a beer with you. And I think that's what makes it. I think that's where we properly get to the proper definition of this. So again, I like Mitch's Timothée Chalamet. I don't like how everybody else was throwing it around and trying to get to it. Like, there's certain attributes. I think we laid out a lot of the good ones, but I don't think it has to be entirely, they fit under the same category. The two definitions that we laid out for guy's guy and man's man, you can be both, but you can't categorize them as the exact same thing. It's a Venn diagram, right? You get your two circles, there's an overlap in the middle, and there's plenty of guys on one side and plenty of guys on the other side, and they don't constantly overlap. Like, if we go in the world of Jax, you're an NBA nut. Give me a guy's guy in the NBA. Top of mind. First guy that pops up.
Sam Merrill.
Sam Merrill, guy's guy.
I feel like Sam Merrill's a guy's guy.
I feel like Sam Merrill gets along with everybody. I feel like he fits that category. Hey, do you really want to sit down and have a beer with Sam? That's something like you're dying to?
I think it would be a good time.
All right. I mean, I've never gotten that impression from Sam Merrill, but I might be a guy's guy. I'm trying to think of like a proper J.R.
Smith.
NBA one. J.R. Smith is definitely a guy's guy. See, that's a nail it on the head type of answer. J.R. Smith, Shump would probably fit there too, even though J.R.'s really being really weird and rubbing his rings all over Jalen Brunson. I think that properly categorized would
Richard
be a guy's guy. RJ's.
Channing Fry.
RJ, now that he's moved into the media, probably still a guy's guy. I feel like he's.
Kevin Love.
Guy's guy.
I mean, I guess just that whole team.
The 2017 Cavs or 2018 Cavs, whatever you can categorize them all together on. Timofey Mozgov is not a guy's guy. Listen, I haven't talked to Timofey a lot, but I'm going to guess that he's probably not a guy's guy. Doesn't really give me that
Luca.
Vibe. Yes, I think. Listen, every time I see Luka coming in 40 pounds overweight, instantly makes me think guy's guy. Jokic? Guy's guy? I don't think so.
He's different.
Yeah, I feel like when all you care about is your horses, you become non-guy's guy.
A little odd, yeah.
Yeah. This is good. We've set the stand. Man's man, Nikola Jokic, in the Jokic family. That is a family full of man's mans, okay? When you're sitting there raising horses and that's all you care about and you want to be home with them, probably a man's man.
Jimmy Butler would be a guy's guy, I think.
You think? I feel like he's too moody.
No, I think he'd be a joy to be around.
I don't know. I feel like I guarantee you ask any of his teammates from Minnesota, Jimmy Butler was not a guy's guy. I feel that's a very controversial one coming out of you. Like, get him in a happy place. Right now in Golden State, probably a guy's guy. Once things go south, that man is probably miserable to be around. I mean, he's showing up. He's kicking your ass every day. And then going home with like a frown on his face.
Caruso?
Feels like a guy's guy. I would say so.
Davion Mitchell? Davion Mitchell comes to my mind as like a guy's guy.
I don't know that I've ever, like, aside from maybe three times.
Just the way he plays.
Yeah,
makes me like, want to say he's a guy's guy.
I was going to say, how much media do we have surrounding Davion Mitchell to be a guy's guy? I feel like he's, I probably categorized what, we threw Jedrick Wills out in the pre-show. And I said, that guy's not a manly man. He's not a guy's guy. He's a jag. That's a just a guy. Okay? Davion Mitchell kind of feels like a just a guy. I don't know enough about him. I don't listen to that man talking. If he doesn't find his way into the media enough for me to determine that. We can agree. Gronk is the ultimate.
Gronk is a guy's guy, yeah.
Yeah, that was a good pull by you earlier. I'll give it to you. Sometimes Gronk makes me mad just because sometimes I think you knock on the noggin and it's a lot of echoes in there, okay?
Yeah, but that's what makes him you want to be around that guy.
But it's not that part that makes you want to be like the fact that he's a moron doesn't make you want. It's the fact of like he's going to party like a college kid and probably have your back
a
like
moron,
a golden
exactly.
retriever. Yeah, I mean, sort of. But I think it's more of the he's willing to do just about anything because like if I ask Gronk to climb to the top of my roof and then come down, jump in Bill's Mafia table, he's going to do it. Kind of a guy's guy.
Guy's guy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's the definition. Yeah.
Right? Where it's like you just look at him and you go, climb up there and jump. And they're like, all right. Kind of a guy's guy. I don't know. Do we think that's part of the definition? Do you have to be willing to do something stupid like that and be in on it?
You don't have to be willing to do it, but.
You have to entertain it. You got to be willing to be around it.
Yeah.
Like if I determine.
Yeah, you're not going to be like the guy that's like, well, you shouldn't.
Yeah. Come on, dude. Don't. It's going to be like.
You can egg it on a little bit.
I kind of wonder what happens here. Maybe we just let it go. You know, maybe I'm the first person to grab the phone to call emergency services if something goes wrong. Yeah, sure, jump. What's the worst thing that could happen? If you live in like a 3-story house, maybe we're having a different conversation. You jump off like a 1-story, maybe a balcony of a 2-story. You'll be all right. You'll be fine. Get through that table. Proper definition laid out for you here. If anybody needs to go back, if the morning or the afternoon, or maybe Baskin and Phelps want to jump in on this on Monday, if they want to go back and find the proper definition of a guy's guy, the way that Mitch meant it, I think we encapsulated it here. Get a grip. Coming your way in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.